Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS. Well, can he do it? Can Mitt Romney make up his 18-point deficit when it comes to women voters and win the presidency? It's likely to be a key factor. And what kind of a general election are we in for now that Romney has a clear path to the Republican nomination? To talk about that, I'm joined by Michael Heaney, a University of Michigan Assistant Professor of Organizational Studies and Political Science. Michael, thanks for joining us this evening.
Thanks for having me, Michael.
So tell me, what do you think of Romney's ability to draw women voters now that he can focus his campaign on President Obama? Is there any real effective way that he can have women turn their backs on the president?
Well, I think that Romney's strategy for approaching women has got to be very similar to his strategy for approaching voters in general, which is that he needs to define himself to the electorate. And he hasn't really done that yet. So that will include two very different basic components. One is framing himself with a positive message, building upon his record of success in business, in the voluntary sector, and in government, and also framing President Obama as a failure, and framing the economic difficulties of the past several years as being his fault. Romney's been, up to this point, mainly catering to the Republican primary electorate, which is, of course, much more extreme to the right than the general electorate. So now he really has a general focus that he needs to make on the population as a whole. So I think that the strategy for doing that for men is very similar to the strategy of doing that for women.
How do you think Romney made out of the Republican primary? There were all kinds of comments. He doesn't take a firm stand on positions. The etch-a-sketch candidate. Do you think that's really done him very much harm?
Definitely, I would say that Romney has been harmed by the Republican nomination battle. This was an excessively divisive battle. There was a lot of backbiting between the camps. A lot of the other candidates launched a lot of really vitriolic attacks against Romney. So he has a lot to recover from, and it will be a major task for him to do so. At the same time, he definitely has time, and there's a lot of time between now and November. There's a lot of opportunity for new events to occur in the news, and the real challenge is, will Romney be able to take those events as they unfold and channel them to his advantage, or will President Obama be able to use those events to his advantage instead?
Do you think those that say this, the women vote and this 18-point deficit is absolutely crucial for that to be closed, for Romney to really have a chance of winning?
Absolutely. I mean, Romney, no doubt, does he need to make gains with women, just as he needs to make gains with moderate voters in general. But I think that that's definitely within the realm of possibility that he could do this. I think that Romney's in a really disadvantageous position at the moment when it comes to polls, because he's just come off this very divisive primary. Once he has more of an opportunity to sort of speak to the general voter, speak to the independent, speak to the undecided voter, try and reframe himself, once he has an opportunity to do this, I think you'll see that the gap narrows quite a bit. Now, whether it will narrow enough that he can't defeat President Obama is an open question, but I think that we're probably looking at a low point for Romney right now. I think that things will definitely improve for him in the coming months.
His wealth factor didn't seem to play any role really at all in the Republican primary. How much focus do you think Democrats should and will be putting on the fact that he is such a wealthy man and how he went about making his money? And could that really affect how voters view him? He certainly wouldn't be the first very wealthy man running for the office.
Well, he is one of the wealthiest people that have ever run for president of the United States. Yes, Democrats definitely could and should make that an issue in the campaign. There are a lot of signs that they're planning on doing so. There's also a lot of signs that Democrats will be able to take those issues and use them very effectively against Romney. So that is what the Democrats need to do to make their case against Romney and for Obama. And Romney's going to have to find a way to humanize himself, to make himself appear more likable, and to basically counter these arguments, right? So there's definitely two sides to this argument. On one side of the argument, Romney can say, I was successful in business. That shows that I know how the economy works. That shows that I'm what's good for America when it comes to economic growth. That's the one side of the argument. The other side of the argument fits with the Democratic narrative that Romney's part of the 1%, that he's that he cares about profits over people, that he would promote a more corporate-driven America that's not in the interest of the average person. Right. So there are these two very different narratives. And the challenge the two camps have, Romney's trying to promote his growth-oriented narrative, and Obama's trying to promote his, you know, 1% versus 99% narrative. So that's a huge part of what we're going to see the struggle of in the next couple of months is how are we going to define Romney's business history as a positive or a negative for him.
I'm talking to Michael Heaney. He's a University of Michigan assistant professor of organizational studies and political science. Now, Michael, when you look at the style of these men, since many times the elections don't only come down to the issues, but the actual presentation and style of the candidates, how do you think this is going to break down? You've got two very polished politicians here that are going to be going up against each other. How ugly do you think the campaign is really going to get?
Well, it's hard to tell how ugly the campaign is going to get. A lot of it depends less on the candidates themselves and more on the role that outside groups will play. 527 organizations, super PACs, political action committees, media outlets. I think we'll find that a lot of the nastiness will be driven by these kind of third-party observers. And it will also depend on, you know, what kinds of things happen in the course of the campaign. If you think back to the 2008 election, sort of one of the signature events of the campaign was just the conversation that Obama had with Joe the Plumber on the campaign trail, which quickly became a media phenomenon. So these events happen, the media seizes upon them, and then that plays out in the campaign. So, you know, to know how nasty it's going to get, you have to know what those third parties are going to do, and you have to know, you know, what kind of events are going to happen. And since neither one of us has a crystal ball, we really can't know that.
Sometimes it's easy to forget, Michael, that we do have a war ongoing right now. Do you expect that to really be a key issue in this election, or any kind of a foreign issue in general, or will the focus just simply be on the economy, on social issues?
At this point in time, my expectation would be that the war and foreign policy will largely be a non-issue in the election. Only if you see a kind of major change in the status of forces. You know, so for example, if there's another significant incident in Afghanistan that perhaps precipitates a lot of bloodshed on the American side or precipitates a quicker withdrawal, then that could potentially become an issue. But I think that the focus of the sort of middle-of-the-road, undecided voters right now is the state of the economy. And my expectation would be that that's where the tenor of the debate will stay.
One final question. When it comes to voters this year, do you expect a fairly low level of excitement from the voters on both sides, considering what we saw in 2008?
Absolutely. I think that voters are very nonplussed with the candidates in both parties. Even though Obama has an advantage in the electorate right now, I think it's pretty clear that in general he has a fairly high or fairly low level of popularity for a sitting president. So I think that while Obama does appear to have the upper hand at the moment, that could easily switch because in general people are not very happy with his performance. Likewise, even within the Republican Party, people are not very happy with Mitt Romney. So this is looking like a year where kind of the moderate, middle-of-the-road voter throws their hands up and says, you know, I really don't like either of the candidates.
Well, one last thing. We know a lot about President Obama. Most voters know almost nothing about Mitt Romney. Do you think that he will become more popular and more liked by the general public as he becomes more understood and known?
Well, he better if he wants to be competitive, right? So Romney has got to find a way to become more well-known and to become more well-liked, or this is going to be a blowout by President Obama. I mean, President Obama would win a very large percentage of the Electoral College if the election were held today. So Romney has to find a way to do that. My guess is that he will be able to improve his standing significantly in the electorate, that he will be able to find a way to get his message to resonate with ordinary people. If he doesn't, he's dead in the water.
Michael Heaney, University of Michigan Assistant Professor of Organizational Studies and Political Science. Michael, thanks for joining us this evening.
Thanks for having me, Michael.
And I'll be right back. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.